The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
All right. Well, welcome to a Tuesday. It's only Tuesday. I can tell this is going to be one of those really long weeks that goes on seemingly forever. It's just starting off that way. So, President Biden today did a little presser, talked about inflation. You know, I think this is just like a confluence of bad shit all coming together. You know, what kills me is the former guy was able to ride the economy, the world, the state of the nation that Obama left him. What Biden is dealing with now is the fallout from what the former guy did. Dump, you know, the big orange blob who, for whatever reason, is still out there kicking around, making noise. And it is so frustrating. You know, I was going to start with a song. And I still am kind of, I'm going to, but I thought it needed a little bit of an introduction. And it really, you know, when I think about it, really doesn't need that much of an introduction because the song is pretty self-explanatory. It's from Parody Project, Don Karen, and the Freedom Toast, who I guess is one of the entities that he works with every now and then. And this one, well, they just hit it out of the ballpark. So it sort of describes today's Republican Party for what they are. So enjoy. Yeah, it's the Vote No song. Goes like this.
Vote No. They will vote No. Right wing come and they gon' vote No. Vote. They delay and delay and delay and delay and didn't vote No. Right wing come and they gon' vote No. There was a bill help the country out.
Right wing come and they gon' vote No.
To make life better it was all about.
Right wing come and they gon' vote No.
Come now Republican, help us fix our city.
Right wing come and they gon' vote No.
Bridges collapsing, the image isn't pretty.
Right wing come and they gon' vote No.
Got a 6-vote, 7-vote, 8-vote hedge.
Right wing come and they gon' vote No.
But that was the House, Senate got no edge.
Right wing come and they gon' vote No.
Vote, they will vote No.
Right wing come and they gon' vote.
No. For once, help the country, you might even wanna.
Right wing come and they gon' vote No.
Got a 6-vote, 7-vote, 8-vote
No. Right wing come and they gon' vote No.
But that was the House Mansion, eat Joe's lunch.
Right wing come and they gon' vote No.
Come now, Republican, time to be a hero.
Right wing come and they gon' vote No.
So far your yes votes all amount to zero.
Right wing come and they gon' vote No.
Vote No. They will vote No.
Right wing come and they gon' vote No.
Vote. They delay. And in vote No.
Right wing come and spoil the show.
Sorry, America. Sincerely, sorta, you're Republicans. Yeah. That was the Freedom Toast with Parody Project, Don Karen and Company. And I don't know about you, but I could listen to that all day and sing along and dance. And then maybe you go with, you think about the scene from Beetlejuice and just think, you know, hey, the weird spirits and the Republicans, not much daylight there. Anyway, I thought that was good to get us going on a Tuesday. I was going to say morning because it feels like morning to me. I'm sleep deprived. So let me ask you this. If you're watching on YouTube or Twitter or Twitch or Facebook, and I'm putting a picture up on the screen. And if you saw this on the sidewalk outside of your house, what would you do? Now, I'm guessing you wouldn't call the police. What it says, for those of you not watching a video stream, just listening to the audio, some creative people in Maine took out the sidewalk chalk and they wrote, "Mainers want WHCA." That stands for the Women's Healthcare Act. And it was a message written in sidewalk chalk to Susan Collins in front of her house. And you can see it even, it says here in small letters, "Susie, please." Well, do you know what Susan Collins did? She called the police. I kid you not. Susan Collins called the cops because somebody wrote her a polite message in sidewalk chalk outside of her house. Nothing aggressive there. She called the police. Hold on, I gotta find the here. So Southpaw just tweeted out this image, the picture, the photograph, and wrote, obviously, 911 is your first call when confronted with such an aggressive, water soluble writing. Seriously, she called the police? What, you know, that sort of encapsulates everything that's wrong here. Okay, so hold on. Bangor Daily News. Let me bring up this article. Susan Collins calls police after pro-abortion rights chalk message appears outside her home in Bangor. There's something about talking about abortion rights in Bangor in the same sentence that I just the way my mind works. Anyway, Senator Susan Collins called police over the weekend after an unknown person or persons wrote a pro-abortion rights message in chalk on the sidewalk outside her West Broadway home in Bangor. "Susie, please! Mainers want WHPA. Vote yes. Clean up your mess," is what the message said. And again, WHPA refers to Women's Health Protection Act, which would codify the right to abortion into law and ban restrictions on abortion access. Well, the police responded to her home 9:20 p.m. Saturday night after she complained. She complained about a message written in chalk on her sidewalk. The spokesperson from the Bangor Police Department said the message was not overly threatening. Bangor police called the Department of Public Works to wash the message away. Really? They had to call out some governmental agency to hose down the sidewalk of the chalk that washes away when you get it wet? And Susan Collins issued a statement. She said, "We are grateful to the Bangor police officers and the city public works employee who responded to the defacement of public property in front of our home." That's what she said. Yeah. Susan Collins. She did that. By the way, Senator Bob Casey, Democrat, who's always been, you know, an anti-choice so-called Democrat, said that on this vote they're going to hold tomorrow, he will vote in favor of the Women's Health Protection Act. First time he'll vote to give women the right to do with our bodies what we feel is the right thing to do with our bodies. Go figure. Awfully womanly of him, isn't it? But you know what? That still only gives the Democrats 49 votes. 49 votes. Because Joe Manchin won't do the right thing here. And of course, the pro-choice, allegedly pro-choice Republicans, that would be Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski, both say, well, they won't vote for it. Oh, no. However, they did say, I wonder if I have this in my notes here. I've got pages and pages of notes for today. Both said that they were working on a bipartisan compromise so that they might be able to get 52 votes for this. It doesn't matter, though, because they won't get the 60 votes they need to put into law what had been precedent for 49 years. I talk about opposite world all the time, but this is getting ridiculous already because this is beyond opposite world. Whoops. This is beyond opposite world. Uh-oh, my thing doesn't want to play. Man, I hate it when this happens. All my sound is gone again. Damn it. It worked before, didn't it? I wonder if this one would work. Hold on. No, nothing's working from... I'm going to try to close this out and then open it up again because the gremlins are getting to me. So let me tell you, we do have a guest coming up today. And I got to tell you, what a mess. I'm scattered. I'm just scattered lately. And I don't know. I don't know what the cause of it is. Maybe it's the stress that the world is crumbling around us as we speak. But what happened was I came into this week with nothing on the books except Howie on Thursday. And he's going to bring with him Tom Nelson, who's running for the U.S. Senate from Wisconsin, and he'd be great. So we've got that. But the rest of the week was empty. Some weeks, you know, I come in here Monday, I've got my little handy booking book. I still do this old school. I've got my book. I've done it this way for years and years and years. You can see my notes from any given week. This book is my Bible. You know, to the extent that I have any kind of Bible, this is it. But I got to this week, and this week was empty. Well, it's not so much anymore. But so yesterday, I'm doing the show and getting through it, and I'm thinking, all right, there's two ways I could go. One was talking to my friend Larissa again. Do you remember Larissa? Larissa Alexandrovna. She came on about a month ago. She was born in Soviet-occupied Ukraine. She was born before the end of the Soviet Union when Ukraine was part of the Soviet Union. By the way, Putin wasn't in charge then. Putin was just some KGB guy, right? Putin came into power in right at the turn of the millennium, actually, in 2000, the beginning of 2000. And shut down all adoptions. And so I remember it very well. But I digress. So Larissa was born in Ukraine, Soviet Ukraine, where they had no rights. They were not allowed to speak Ukrainian, so she only understands English. And now her family escaped when she was like 8 or 9 years old. But she's from Odessa. And Odessa is now being firebombed by the Russians the same way they firebombed Mariupol and so many other, again, the wobbles. You know what? I'm gonna reach out to, I'm writing myself a note now to call Wirecast again. Actually, the company is called Telestream, who makes Wirecast, because this wobbly audio thing is coming through there. Answer my phone. Nobody's calling. Oh, it's turned off. Hold on 1 second. All right. I got to open up my phone. Sorry. Tamara's like, Nicole, answer your phone. My phone was closed. So, okay. It's open now. Phone is operating. So if you call now, I will see it and I will answer it. Sorry about that. Anyway, the wobbles hopefully will be easing up in a moment. It's better now. See, it comes. It's like it comes in waves. But I got to pull tape of it, and I've got to call these people again. It's nothing I'm doing. It's not in my board. It's in the software. It's one thing when you know it, And there's nothing you can do about it. But anyway, all right. So I guess that must be Tamara calling. Hi.
Hey, Nicole.
What's up?
I want to say something, and I want people to listen, and I want you to give me the chance to say what I have to say.
Okay.
When I was 13, I was invited to a girlfriend's house. And I got there, and her father raped me.
Oh,
in 1970, I received an abortion.
Wow.
That my stepfather was able to get for me.
Oh, my God,
Tamara.
I
want every father to listen to what I have to say.
Yeah.
I'm 64 years old, and this still hurts me.
I'll bet.
That I was raped by a friend's father, and that I got an abortion.
Wow.
And I had to hear the nurse say that I was a sinner and going to go to hell.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. This is in Missouri? You live in Missouri, right?
Yeah. But I was born and raised in Chicago.
Oh, okay.
But for 10 years, I searched for God. And I was baptized 6 times in 6 different Christian religions. And they're all hypocrites. They're liars, cheats, thieves, and they don't care about the children. They don't care about their daughters.
No.
They don't care that a man raped their child.
No,
and now
it's astounding.
We got 5 Catholics on the Supreme Court that are going to take away your daughters, your wives, your mothers, your sisters, your female cousins' First Amendment right, which is freedom of and from religion.
Yep. Yep.
And don't do this to your daughters. Because there are men out there that will rape your little girl.
That is just...
Can
I just add, did anything happen to this man? Or was he able just to go on with his life? Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Good.
My stepfather owned a bar and had been a bar owner for decades. He would buy neighborhood rundown bars, fix them up, and bring the neighborhood people back. Well, he happened to be one of the guys that went into my father's bar, and they invited him out back into the alley, and they beat the living crap out of him.
Yeah, but but were the police called? I mean, was there any legal action?
Actually, the police, who was the head of the sheriff's department, was a friend of my dad's, and they all were out there beating the crap out of him. And they told him to pack his crap and get the hell out of town. This was in Crystal Lake, Illinois.
I understand, but why? Why was he allowed to leave? Why wasn't he thrown in jail? He raped a young girl.
Well, back then, they didn't really bring up little girls being raped by adult
Tamara,
men.
Of course it they did.
It was a hush-hush thing. We're talking 1970.
I understand.
Right?
You know, let me tell you a story. You know, I grew up down here in South Florida, and it was Halloween. It was Halloween one year, and a group of us girls, we were 13. You know, we were still going out trick-or-treating, and obviously none of us drove yet. And so a couple of friends went walking. We were all going to meet up at some central point. And my friend Denise and 2 other friends were walking and half riding a bicycle. So there were 3 of them. 2 were on the bicycle and they rode up ahead, and Denise was walking. And it was in a very nice neighborhood, but she was walking along this big empty lot where there were just a row of bushes. And a guy jumped out from behind the bushes and pulled her back there with him and raped her. Again, she was probably 13. And of course, the word got to the rest of us, like, oh my God, Denise was raped. But this was a huge, I mean, she was 13. This was maybe 73, 1973. So the same time. And the trial was a big deal. I mean, I remember this guy was put away. But, and I know how it screwed up her life from then on. This, you know, I'm glad they beat the shit out of the guy, but I hope he had to pay a legal price as well, because letting him leave just frees him up to do it again.
Well, actually, Nicole, I'm not sure that the guy left.
Ah, I gotcha.
But I'm 64 years old,
and
Nicole.
Of course, and it's still with you. Right.
I don't feel guilty about having the abortion.
No.
I feel guilty that I was stupid enough to go to a girlfriend's house and let her father rape me.
Well, I'm sure you didn't let him rape you. Now, where was your friend when this happened?
She was a junior high girlfriend that had moved into the area and came to school, and we got to be friends and invited me to her house to listen to records,
right?
And I went. I mean, you know, it's not something
you should be safe going to a friend's house, especially back in the 70s. Things were a lot, seemingly a lot safer then, maybe not.
But I'm 64 years old, Nicole, and it still hurts.
Of course it does.
And these Catholics on the Supreme Court are going to use their religion against people who aren't Catholic.
Yeah,
who don't believe what they
believe. Of course.
So they're going to violate, the Supreme Court is going to violate every woman's First Amendment right.
Yeah. Yeah. And the thing is, and they want to put their religion on you. Here's the thing. You know, all of these, I call them religious bigots because they are. They think their religion is the correct one. And you know, when they think about freedom of religion, they want you to practice, they want you to be free to practice their religion, right? It's just like Sharia law, except these are Christian Sharia practicers. They want to push their very restrictive religious beliefs on the rest of us. And that's not what's written in the Constitution. That's not okay. And these people are extremists. They are radicals. We need to start calling them what they are.
But Nicole, I want your listeners to understand, at 64 years old, I have never told this story until now.
Really? Oh, my.
I have held it inside me since I'm 13.
Oh, my God, Tamara. I'm so sorry.
I've been married twice and never told either one of my husbands or my sons or anyone else. And this is what these fucks that want babies on the Supreme Court to understand, that abortion isn't something women want, but it's something that they need in order to keep control of their lives after rape or incest, to be free of what happened to them.
Right. And
that baby.
Of course
it wasn't
not.
A baby.
No.
It was something a rapist did to me.
That's right. That's right. And it's not a baby.
A son.
It's
I
not
wanted.
A child.
It
you
wasn't
didn't.
My husband's
right.
child that I wanted to give birth to and love and cherish. It was something that came out of violence and hate.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and the fact that these Republicans are all, you know, going in lockstep to pass this legislation prohibiting women from doing what they believe to be necessary to do with their bodies. And then, the whole thing is just unconscionable, right? And telling you that it's a child, you're killing a child. No, you're not. You are taking care of your body. You're taking care of your being. You're doing what's the right thing for you. And then for them to say no exception for rape or incest.
Exactly. And it's wrong because they don't understand that a 13-year-old little girl really doesn't understand what that man did to her.
I my heart's breaking for you, Tamara.
I'm a strong old bitch. You know, I'm born and bred Chicago girl.
Yeah.
And you can't do a fucking thing to me that I won't fight back. And I will fight back against the Supreme Court. I will fight back against these Catholic fucks who think that they own my body. And I will fight for every little girl and every woman who's been raped or incest or beaten and raped by her husband. I will fight, 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 and they can take their Second Amendment right and give it to me because I have no problem using the Second Amendment right that they keep screaming about against them.
Well, I can't say I blame you. Can't say I blame you.
Screw them.
Yeah.
They can go screw themselves because if they want to use the Second Amendment right against everything else, then we women intend to use it against them. What do they say, Nicole? No justice, no peace?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's coming to them. And so these Supreme Court justices had better saddle up and strap on because we're coming. We are legion. We are woman, and we will not bow to them.
All right. Tamara, thank you for the call. Thank you for sharing that story with us. I'm so sorry that happened to you. That should happen to nobody, first of all. You know, and then to compound it, to make things worse, here this young girl is raped, then she's pregnant, and you want to tell her that she can't, that she must carry that thing, that alien being that was put in her by violence and force, that she's got to carry that to term? That's not a baby. It's not a child. At that point, it's a zygote. It's a cell. There's no reason to let that grow in your body. None whatsoever. But this is where we're going now. You know, the Midas Touch guys made a commercial after they passed the law in Texas, you know, the 6-week heartbeat law. Well, you know what? It's not a heartbeat. When they detect an electrical pulse at about 6 weeks in a fetus, in a zygote, it's not a heartbeat. It's an electrical pulse. And I learned about the electricity in your heart when I had my not a heart attack episode a couple of years ago. And they had to like jumpstart my heart to get the beat regular again. It was tachycardia or something. It's electrical pulses. That's what it is. Not a heartbeat, but that's where we are. And you have these, I hate to call them people, these sad excuses for human beings, you know, legislating your morality. Well, that's nonsense. This is what we're going to be living through soon.
Listen, everything's going to be okay, right? Just let me do the talking, okay? Just everything.
Evening, ladies. License, please. Where are you headed?
We're just out for a drive.
Uh-oh.
Headed to the border?
Oh, no. We were just going up to the...
Hey there. What's your name?
Grace.
Are you pregnant, Grace? Step out of the vehicle.
Oh, my God.
Yes, she does.
No.
Show me your hands on the wheels, please. Grace, get out of the vehicle. On the wheel.
Republicans have taken away your right to choose. Now, take away their right to govern. hashtag GOP Handmaid's Tale. You know, I believe Midas Touch produced that ad. They did. Brilliant work. And the thing is, this is where we are. Who would have ever thought that in 2022, that's what we're going to be looking at? Why is somebody calling me from Deerfield Beach? I don't know. All right. So, the fact that we're in this position today is beyond absurd. It's just there's no reason in the world to for this to happen. So, it's times like this, that I feel we need to dig a little deeper. You know, remember deep thoughts? Well, the closest thing that I believe we have here on the left to like deep thoughts that are out there is by reading the blog of one OG blogger, Driftglass, because he brings these words of wisdom, don't you know? And so, is he here?
Scanning the mad bladders here on RadioNot.com as we take a walk through the Golden Grooveyard, kicking off a silver dollar twin spin with the Drift Glass.
When this whole world starts getting me
The Drifters. This is Drift Glass.
Oh, sorry. Here's Drift Glass with Nicole Sandler.
I think he's there. Drift Glass, you there?
I am here.
So, yes, I decided I'd call this Deep Drift Glass Thoughts today. Because you always do. You dig deep and you come up with some profound brilliance. So can you explain to me, Driftglass, how we got here to where the Christian Taliban is imposing their Sharia law on the rest of
sure.
us?
Sure. It'll only take about 4 hours.
Okay. All right.
I'll go nice and easy on you. Once upon a time, there was a man named Richard Milhouse Nixon.
Oh, ooh, okay.
Yeah. No, it's we got here step by step.
Yep.
You know, you're an OG blogger. You're an OG.
I'm an OG podcaster. You're the OG blogger. I'm the OG radio podcaster kind of thing. Yeah.
But we've been around this block many,
we
many,
many have.
Times.
We've been doing this for a long time.
And anyone who is surprised that we have arrived here where the Republican Party was always going, it's not where they were always going this way, needs to have their pundit credentials revoked because this is exactly where they were headed. This is Ronald Reagan letting Jerry Falwell sit at the big boy table, the Republican Party in the 1980s. And Jerry Falwell figuring out, you know what? These a-holes out there are not going to give me money for segregation. What can I bilk them? Oh, little babies. Yes. Little babies. We need to protect little babies. And suddenly, literally overnight, these Southern Baptist Christians became the staunchest defenders of the unborn baby.
Yeah.
And that's how we got here. And they became the pillar of the GOP. The Republican Party has been running against, I mean, you might remember Carly Fiorina.
Of course.
You know, the reasonable one, one of the good ones who was going to knock off Trump but never did.
Right.
She was running on a platform that Planned Parenthood chops up little babies and sells their parts. And that's their business plan. This is the common vocabulary of Republicans and has been for my entire adult life. And it reminds me, and I don't want to, you know, be too alarmist, but now's the time to be kind of alarmist.
Yeah.
The common vocabulary of Germany for a very long time was anti-Semitism.
Yeah. Oh,
just,
yeah.
You know, the Jews are to blame for everything. And it just, you know, I might have mentioned on this show, Martin Luther, the founder of Protestantism.
Yeah.
His most famous book, I think, is called Summa Theologica, which is, you know, the great work. But his second most famous book, I'm not kidding, is called The Jews and Their Lies.
Oh.
And that's the one that Protestants never talk about because so
course.
There's a deeply seated anti-Semitism in Christianity built right into the sort of the founding documents.
Mm-hmm.
And over the years, it became more and more acceptable to do more and more heinous things, you know, put them in a ghetto, to cut them off from any making a living anywhere except from money changing, forced conversion. And then a generation later freaking out that they're, oh, my God, The church is full of fake Jews. We need to rout them out. You know, it was always this pathology. And eventually, you know exactly where it led. It led.
Yep.
Finally, Nazi Germany took what had always been there, always part of the vocabulary, to its logical extreme. Republicans, my entire adult life, had been this way. And they finally got enough judges on the Supreme Court to do what they've always promised they would do.
Yeah.
And the people who are freaking out now are, you know, I mean,
are the elected official. Well, there's a number of groups freaking out for different reasons.
Exactly.
Right? For us, we're like, what the fuck? It's 2022. What are you doing? This is ridiculous. This is just absurd. But for the elected Republicans, who are looking at a constituency where woman's right to choose has a 70% approval rate, they're going, wait, it wasn't supposed to happen. We were just supposed to threaten it. We were supposed to use this to raise money. You weren't supposed to actually do it.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, it's been said a million times. The dog finally caught the car.
That's right.
You know, the thing they've been begging for and pleading
got
for.
Got its tail.
And, you know, all the actual Christo-fascists, Christopaths, I call them, all the actual bloodthirsty, Gilead-driven lunatics on the right who've been there all along and have been the base of the Republican Party for a long, long time are now going to literally hold their members' feet to the fire. They're going to start saying, look, you promised us this for 40 goddamn years. You promised us this. Now we have it within our reach to do this. And if you don't do it, look what happened when Marco Rubio said a bad thing about Donald Trump. Look what happened to Megyn Kelly when she decided Donald Trump was not her friend anymore.
Yeah.
We will roast you alive. We own the primaries. We own this political party. And you're going to become a liberal now?
Right.
That's the only dirtier word in Republican lexicon is liberal.
Sure.
I mean, I'm listening to Rick Wilson this week. I'm talking to Rick Wilson. Talk to Joe Walsh on Joe Walsh's podcast.
Oh God.
You know, I believe it's my job to be like a listening post for liberals.
Right.
I listen to the horrible stuff they say.
I appreciate it. Even though Joe Walsh has sort of seen the light and realizes that he was this heinous, evil creep, he's still a Republican, just so you know. He still doesn't believe in a living wage. There's so many things he doesn't believe in, but he does. He will call Donald Trump out for the evil orange blob he is.
And then he will turn right around and say, and liberals are just as bad.
Yeah, right.
You know, because both sides do it is the final refuge for the worst scum in the world. That's where they're all headed now.
Yeah.
The Roe debacle was horrifying for a few days. And now it's like, well, you know, the extremes on both sides, you know, Nicole, the extremes on both sides.
Right.
And that's where everybody's, not mine, hasn't and never been, but that's where everybody's happy place is, blaming both sides. So I'm listening to Rick Wilson go on and on. You know, I'm not a Republican anymore. But I'm no goddamn progressive. I'm no goddamn socialist. It's that kind of, you know, the dirtiest word in their language is us. Is
right,
you and me.
Of course.
So, and the worst thing you can be called if you're a mainstream media person or if you're a person who's running for office is liberal. Liberal, you want to murder children and make my kids gay and take my guns away.
Right.
And there are, you know, 70 million people who are brainwashed into believing that. And so there's no place for Republicans to run. They can't reinvent their party because this is their party.
Mm-hmm.
They can't stand up to these people because these people will simply bulldoze them into an early grave. And they certainly can't switch parties because nothing's worse than being a Democrat.
Right.
So they're going to go right along with the fascists, and they're going to write books about it 3 years from now saying, I tried, man.
Yeah.
I was on the inside. I did what I could. He was going to do worse stuff, but for me. And they'll all be recycled on Meet the Press, and they'll show up on Good Morning America, and this will just go on and on and on until that party is destroyed.
I mean,
crashed and burned. But there's no saving these people. There's no stopping them by reasoning with them. That's out the window.
Yeah, no.
So that's how we got here. We got here by letting people like Rush Limbaugh and Newt Gingrich 30 years ago define the terms of the debate, explain to the party what you need to do is demonize the left all the time. You need to call them every name in the book. And all Trump did was read aloud from the Rush Limbaugh playbook, talked to them in the language they understood, and they voted for him, and they love him, and they'll crawl over broken glass for him. And he delivered for them. He delivered. He delivered three fascist right-wing monsters to the court, thanks to Mitch McConnell yep. and the Republican Party. And now they're going to take Roe away. And then they're going to go after gay marriage. Then they're going to go after contraception and everything else that's a right to privacy. And, you know, the worst thing we can possibly do is draw chalk figures outside of Susan Collins' home.
Of course. That would be horrible. Draw a polite note mm-hmm. in chalk on her sidewalk that is easily washed away with water. That would be terrible. I mean, I think she should call the police on them.
I think her sidewalk has a right to privacy that is inviolable, and that, you know, these bastard liberals want to violate the right of privacy of Supreme Court justices to be secure in their own homes from people who object to them taking their rights away from them. And the thing is, they don't understand why that's a ridiculous statement. They really right. do believe no. they are the chosen people, so laws don't apply to them, rules don't apply to them. That's why the Congress rushed to provide special protection for judges today or yesterday.
Yes, they did.
Because, you know, nothing is more important than we protect the lives of the delicate lives and sensibility of Brett Kavanaugh.
Right, Brett Kavanaugh. But don't I have it correct? Wasn't there something where the court found that protesters could basically harass people who were going to get an abortion? They could protest that. They could go up to them and harass them, but they're not. They're saying that they can't peacefully protest on the street in front of the house of a Supreme Court justice.
Well, there's a guy named Fred Wilhoit, a quote by him about conservatism. It's been floating around recently. It makes the rounds every now and then, which is conservatism has been around forever. And it consists of two very simple rules. There are rules that restrict but do not bind, and there are rules that bind but do not restrict. The rules that bind but don't restrict apply to you. Yeah, the rules that restrict but don't bind apply to me, or protect but don't bind. So I am protected by the law, but I can do whatever the hell I want. You are restricted by the law, and you can't do a goddamn thing. And because I'm the ruling class, because I'm the cis white male patriarchy ruling class.
Yes, you are.
You know, it's all resolved in the fact that I am one of the chosen people. Therefore, the rules do not apply to me. Of course, I need to pass laws that let my mob attack people outside abortion clinics. And all I'm saying is, you know what? All the people who are having quibble attacks and having hot fontades over liberals protesting outside the Supreme Court and people outside of Kavanaugh's house or Alito's house banging mm-hmm. a tambourine and singing a song. You know, here's the thing. Since I have a long memory, I know what worked.
Uh-huh.
Terrorizing clinics worked.
Yeah.
Bombing clinics worked.
Yeah.
Terrorizing judges worked. Yeah. Demonizing people who are on the opposite side worked. So I'm just saying, well, those are the tools you have left us to use. So you know what? I don't give a damn if the senator from Maine never gets a good night's sleep in her life. I don't have a problem with that.
Nor do I. And the thing is, our side is not terrorizing them. They are doing what the Constitution gives them the right to do, which is peacefully protest, peacefully assemble, and redress your grievances. That's what they are allowed to do. Now, these same people who are bitching and moaning about this are the ones who said that the insurrectionists who attacked the Capitol on January 6th did nothing wrong.
This reminds me of a conversation I often have with my lovely wife, Lindell.
Yes.
Where she says, yeah, but, and I say, yeah, so what? They don't believe in the rules.
No, they do not believe in the rules.
What we are doing is we are making a rational argument. I was a high school debater. I don't know about you.
No.
In high school debate, you made an argument that a judge decided.
Yeah.
There was always a panel, a bunch of people out there somewhere that you're arguing towards. There is no audience for these arguments that you and I make.
Yeah.
Nobody is left unpersuaded. There's no undecided group of people out there who we can go to and say, but they're hypocrites. And those imaginary people will go, oh my God, you're right. I never noticed. For 40 years, I've been keeping my eyes closed. But you know what, Nicole, you make a good point. Suddenly I realize they're hypocrites and I'm going to change my mind.
Yeah, right.
There are no persuadable people out there. You know, I can get as mad as we want over the fact that, you know, Tucker Carlson can call the police and go on his show because 12 people were singing songs in front of his house.
Oh, God.
And he goes, and then they tried to break into my house.
No, they didn't. You know, well, okay. No,
but his audience doesn't know that.
I know.
All his audience hears is a bunch of Antifa terrorists right outside of his house.
You know,
and so
yeah.
There's no penalty for it. There's no justice to be had for it. There's no price to be paid for it, except he gets a lot of money every year. So, you know, I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm profoundly agreeing with you, but I'm saying there is no point in trying to say, yeah, but this is awful because I already agree with you.
I know. I just, you know, I try to point out the hypocrisy, but it's kind of redundant because everything they say is hypocrisy. So for instance, there's a new one that I've discovered and I seem to be the only one calling it out. It is the Republican party line. Did you know that according to these Republicans, Democrats, we filthy, dirty liberals, don't you know, we love abortion. We want to be able to abort a baby up until the time it's born, and some cases even after.
Listen, up until they're in fourth grade.
Right.
We want to abort children.
Listen to this. This was just from a week or two ago or something like that, when our idiot governor here, moron death sentence, who now is just to Satan because he's of Satan, he signed the 15-week abortion bill into law here in Florida. And when he signed it, this is what he said. You just have to listen to him. It's hard to listen to him because the man pukes from his vocal cords with every word, and he lies, and the pukes come out with the lies. But just listen to what he's saying here.
The far left of our political spectrum, they are now taking the position that babies can be aborted up to the 9th month.
Really?
Literally. You can go back for you parents and some of the most significant experiences in my life to hold your child for the very first time. What they would say is, parent holding that child, if you just go back a day or two, then you would have been able to snuff the child out entirely.
Of course. Yeah.
That is just fundamentally wrong. That is infanticide. And that has no place.
Okay, so Driftglass. Have you ever heard of anybody who has advocated for infanticide, for aborting a baby? Right. Well, but Democrats, this is allegedly what we do.
Well, yeah. And that's.
Do we do that?
What Carly Fiorina said, the business model of Planned Parenthood is to deliberately impregnate women, to deliberately abort children so you can sell their spare parts for money.
Yeah.
So this is a phrase you're probably familiar with, the blood libel.
Yeah, right.
This is, you know, Jewish people kill children to use their blood to make matzos.
Right.
This is the blood libel. This is why it feels so ancient and evil and familiar, because they're doing exactly the same goddamn thing, and they're getting applause from people.
Yeah.
Now,
but can I tell you this? This though is part of their talking points because it found its way into a Ted Cruz thing. And then this woman, I just love her name, Cassie Smedili. She's the executive director of some bullshit organization. And she goes on Fox and says this.
This is a dark and disturbing
morning. I got to go past Chuck.
I urge every American to make their voice.
Okay.
Cassie, could I first get your reaction to that?
Yeah, I think as a pro-life person, you say, what about the rights of the tens of millions of unborn babies that have been relentlessly under attack by the left for decades now? We are not talking about the same conversation that happened 40 years ago.
No.
Today's Democrats are advocating in many cases for the rights to have an abortion beyond the birth of the child. And most Americans would say that's not something that sits well with me. And so for Democrats to go out on the campaign trail, they want to put all their eggs in this basket.
Because it's a fucking lie and nobody challenges them. They go on all these shows and they say it. Those Democrats, they want the right to abort a baby even after it's born. And nobody's like, where do you get this shit?
Why would they're on friendly media? Why would anyone on friendly media challenge them? That's why they go on there. There is no one. I am exhausted by liberals on Twitter saying, What reporters should do is, you know what, this a-hole is never going to go in front of a reporter. They're never going to be challenged by a reporter. They're never going to answer any question. They keep looking for some reasonable person to sort of, I don't know, glitter bomb these people.
Yeah.
You know, sneak in and ask them that big question that's going to turn everything around. Nothing is going to turn them around. Newt Gingrich rose to power in the 90s, blaming Susan Smith.
Oh, the woman who drove her car into the lake with the kids in the back? Children.
And what did Newt Gingrich run on that year? Well, that's just a typical example of liberal values.
Oh.
If you don't want basically mothers murdering their children, you're going to vote Republican.
Well, you do know Newt Gingrich and what he's all about, right? Listen, he even did an ID for me back in the day.
This is Newt Gingrich. Frankly, I find it difficult making love to Callista without cutting my head on her hair. But frankly, when I do, I enjoy bumping nasty while listening to Nicole Sandler.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. David wants to talk to you. David?
Sure. Hey, David.
I'm just wondering where all this pearl clutching was when people were threatening Dr. Fauci's life.
Yeah,
and
good
when
question.
These fucking moronic parents were storming school board meetings.
Yeah.
Where was all this pearl clutching? And they were camped out in front of school board members' houses protesting there. Where was all the outrage?
Yeah, good question.
Well, would you like, I can just repeat what I just said.
Yeah, which no.
Is, there is no, you keep expecting there to be outrage coming from some disinterested third party. There aren't disinterested third parties. The only thing that anyone in the middle ever hears from Ron DeSantis is the extremes on the left. Oh, I know that story. It's the extremes on both sides. Both sides are equally bad. So all the undecided folks, all those independent folks, all they hear is, well, this is, you know, if a conservative murdered 20 people, there's got to be a liberal out there who did something equally bad. And their brain shuts down because the mainstream media has been preaching that to them for 40 years. Republicans are just going to keep doing this. You can be as outraged as you want. You can say, oh, my God, can you imagine the hypocrisy? Where's all the outrage? Well, the outrage is in the Democratic Party. You're talking to the outrage.
Yep.
But these people are fascists. You expect them to be ashamed that they're fascists? They love being fascists. They love doing this stuff. They love owning the libs. There's no shame in that. They think they're the freaking master race. They think they're going to take over and wipe the rest of us out. You expect them to be, I don't know, hollowed out inside in some way, mortified by the fact? No, of course not.
No.
And you expect Chuck Todd to stand up to these people?
No.
Are you kidding me? Chuck Todd has said on a number of occasions.
Can we just say, you know, sometimes karma is a bitch. Poor Chuck, he's being taken off the MSNBC airwaves and relegated to the behind the peacock paywall.
Look, he's going from a show nobody watched during midday to a show nobody's going to watch on streaming. You know, that's fine. But he's still on Meet the Press.
Yeah.
You know, he's still piloting that ship.
Yeah.
So, I'm not looking for, you know what? Here's, if you want to feel good, go out and look at my governor's Twitter stream, J.D. Pritzker.
Yeah, J.D. Pritzker, you've got a decent governor.
Yeah. Every 3 hours, he's saying a woman's right to choose is never going to be challenged in this state. Republican a-holes in this country can do whatever they want, but not in Illinois. We're setting an example for the rest of the country. And he's got his lieutenant governor with him, and he's got a bunch of people behind him. And he's got, as you know, he's a billionaire. So he's got FU money. And he is out there on Twitter, I swear, 5 times a day saying Republicans are wrecking this country, but they're not going to get us here. Here in Illinois, we know what we're doing. Here in Illinois, your rights are safe. And if you look at a map, that's because we're goddamn surrounded. We have red states on every side.
Yep.
And we know they're coming for you. The coasts are safe, but we're this little island of tolerance in the middle of this ocean of red. And he is extremely good. The people who complain about why can't Democrats message?
Yes.
Why don't they message? Well, you know,
well,
first of all,
can't.
We don't have a megaphone. We didn't spend the last 30 years building a Fox News.
That's true. And we don't nurture the people who know how to craft the message. You know what? I played that ad that was produced by the Midas Touch guys. You know what? They do wonderful work.
They
the
do.
Party should hire them
they
because
should.
They're great. Instead, they fuck around with the Lincoln Project. You know, stop it. The wrong people. They're the wrong fucking people.
And it's so when I hear messaging's a problem, I like to direct people to feel hopeful to my governor or Rachel Bitticoffer, who's very good.
She was on the show a few weeks ago. She was awesome.
She's awesome. And she's looking for work.
I know.
So it is as if we have an armory full of extremely efficient and devastating shells and no howitzers to fire them with. Because there's no liberal media.
Right.
There's no way to get it out.
Well, we're here. It's just the thing is, the people that we support, the political party, the politicians, the elected officials that we support do not support us. No. That's the problem. We get nothing. We get not even love or appreciation from the poor. We get nothing, and we're happy with it, or you will be happy with it. But can I just say, there's one place I saw some good messaging at driftglass.blogspot.com. Who knew you were a closeted cartoonist?
I'm not. I'm stealing from, you might remember this, Get Your War On.
I don't.
Oh, Get Your War On. All of these cartoons.
I've got one of them up on the screen now.
I put a link at my blog. I throw a bunch of them up on Twitter, but I put a link on my blog to, this was a Get Your War On, were these same cartoon frames with different dialogue during the Iraq War. And they were short and they were powerful and they were hilarious. And I thought, it's about time someone pulled these templates out of the folder and started adding things to them.
Uh-huh.
And so I've taken it upon myself to pick up where the former cartoonist left off. And these are old public access cartoons from the 70s and 80s. Uh-huh. And he just erased the dialogue.
The dialogue from the speech bubbles. So on this one, it's Get Your Row On, too.
Yes.
And the guy says, "Hi, I'm Sam, and this is my seat now, also my table." And the woman says, "Actually..." And you want to read, Sam?
He says, "I can't see it from here." So.
"And we're going to have a quick sing-along. Ready? Row, 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 you're done. Isn't that supreme?" And the girl says, "We were." And he continues, "Merrily, merrily, 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 your rights were but a dream." And the girl says, "Who are?" And he goes, "Gotta go, but I'll be back later for your IUDs." Mm-hmm. Says, "What the fuck?" And that's exactly where we are.
No, I'm OG enough to have remembered that cartoon during the Bush administration, during 2002, 3, and 4, and go, you know what? That was really effective.
Yeah.
It's short. It's to the point. It's infinitely flexible if you know what you're talking about. I thought, you know, that's a pretty cool thing. And we also have our Professional Love podcast, which drops every Thursday night now.
The Professional Love Podcast, and it is the wonderful Drift Glass and his lovely wife, Blue Gal Fran, who you can also read, and Drift Glass occasionally, too, over at Crooks and Liars.
Yeah, occasionally. They let me do a week worth of... And one of the things I do like about Crooks and Liars is they have Mike's blog roundup.
Yeah.
Because once upon a time, the ethos in the blogosphere was to find lesser-known blogs and bring them to the public attention.
Yeah.
And that's all gone now. But we still do it. We still try to do it.
Nobody ever did that for me.
No.
Just saying.
And here we are. And yet here we are. We're the last people standing. How about that?
We take a licking and keep on ticking.
Yeah.
Because we don't know any better. Right?
Well,
I guess.
You know, there's a scene from Wonder Boys, which is a wonderful movie.
Michael Douglas and what's her name? I can see her. Cat Lady. Michelle Pfeiffer.
This is Michael Douglas and Tobey Maguire and Rip Torn.
Really?
It's about writers. He's a down and out writer in Pennsylvania. And it's a wonderful movie. Wonder Boys. It's absolutely great movie.
Are you sure Michelle Pfeiffer wasn't in there?
I'm positive because it's one of my favorite movies.
Okay.
Frances McDormand was in it, though.
Okay. I'm thinking of the wrong thing.
Huh. But he's on his second novel, and he's trying to, and his agent, played by Robert Downey Jr., is explaining why the novel lives in the mind, and da, da, da. And the guy he's explaining it to, well, what, your novel is 6,000 pages long. You know, you must have known what it was about. And he said, "No, I really don't." And then Michael Douglas said, and he's asked, "Well, why are you writing it?" And Michael Douglas says, "I couldn't stop."
Okay.
Here's what it's like to be a liberal. This is who we are. You know, we just can't stop. This is our fight. I have two stepdaughters, one of whom's leaving for college in a couple of months, one of whom is in college right now.
Yeah.
And they're going to graduate college with fewer rights than when they entered high school.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's a good thing they're not going to Florida, to college in Florida.
No, no, no. One's going to Missouri. And one is in Wisconsin. So, you know.
Okay. Well, Wisconsin. Okay. Missouri? Yeah.
Well, there's an honors program inside the University of St. Louis. St. Louis is a lovely city.
I see. I hear you.
Inside a miserable state. So.
Gotcha. I hear you. All right. Well,
anyway, take heart.
I'm trying. But you know what, Driftglass? I take comfort knowing that you're there. And
well,
I'm here.
You.
And we keep plugging away, because if we don't, who will?
If I have anything to say, if you can focus your attention anywhere,
yeah.
Knock out the fake center, knock out the BS center, knock out the centrists, and the right will fall. But you got to take the center away from these people, because anyone who still has a place to hide is going to hide in the both sides do it panic room.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Driftglass. You should be reading him at driftglass.blogspot.com. You should be listening to him on the Professional Left Podcast at proleftpod.com.
Yeah, just look up Professional Left. We're
Professional
out there.
Left Podcast.
Oh, and I'm back on Twitter, by the way.
I know. I saw it. Did they reinstate you?
They told me my appeals were out. I was done. Never do it again. You can't appeal anymore. You're dead. And stop bothering us. I waited 10 months. I tried it again, and I got a letter saying, you should never have been kicked off of Twitter.
Oh.
Reinstated. I guess the person who was in charge of kicking liberals off got transferred or promoted, and the new guy didn't know I was supposed to stay off Twitter. So,
Then if Elon Musk takes over, he already said today he's going to let Trump back on.
Yeah, of course he is.
So here's where you need to go. It's a new platform. It's called Tribal, T-R-I-B-E-L, tribal.com. I'm telling you, it's put together by a progressive. This is going to be the place to be, because I think we're all going to migrate off of the Twitters and wind up there. So
not Truth Social? So I'm wasting all my time over Social. Truth Social?
Yeah, Truth Social is kind of buggy. Go to Tribal. 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 We can be tribal over there.
Thank God.
All right. Driftglass, please send my love to Fran. And
I will thank you,
as always. We need our injection of Driftglass every now and then.
Well, take heart, folks. There's still hope out there, and just keep fighting the good fight. Fight for your kids. Fight for the future of your country.
Well, that's what it's all about. We got to do it for them. All right, Driftglass, thank you.
Bye, sweetie.
Bye, honey. Bye. Driftglass, everybody. Yeah, go listen, read, be, all that. Tomorrow, I'm not sure what we're doing, because that's the way this week is going, but we'll figure something out. We'll see what the day brings us. Oh, gee, one of those surprises. Oh, yeah. All right. But I do have the news. I'll leave you with the news, and I'll see you tomorrow. Bye.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
More aid to Ukraine, fast. Check. More funds for COVID relief here at home, not so fast. President Biden on Monday signed a law that will speed up military aid to Ukraine as Russia intensifies its offensive in eastern and southern Ukraine. Biden also urged Congress to immediately pass a separate bill to provide Ukraine with $33 billion more in military and humanitarian aid. Congressional Democrats are adding to that another $7 billion onto this package. About two-thirds of that will go towards security and military assistance as Ukraine fights invading Russian forces. But no COVID relief for you or me. A pending $10 billion COVID-19 assistance package is stuck in a battle over Title 42. Republicans want an amendment vote that would stop the administration from ending that Trump pandemic-era policy that bars migrants from seeking asylum inside the U.S., not allowing them to cross the southern border, but to remain in Mexico and do all the waiting and paperwork from there. This, while all the experts tell us, another surge is on the way. But back to Ukraine. Russia hit the city of Odessa with missiles, including three hypersonic missiles, according to a Ukrainian military official. It destroyed two hotels, a shopping center, and a warehouse. One person died. Five were hospitalized, this according to Ukrainian officials. Separately, the World Health Organization has verified 200 attacks on healthcare facilities in Ukraine since the start of Russia's invasion. But again, Republicans said they would block any bill that included COVID-19 funds along with Ukrainian aid. All right. Well, senators on Monday quickly passed a bill to expand security for the families of Supreme Court justices because this weekend there were abortion rights protests outside the homes of Chief Justice John Roberts and Justice Brett Kavanaugh. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki said that President Biden, quote, strongly believes in the constitutional right to protest, but that should never include violence, threats, or vandalism, adding that judges perform an incredibly important function and must be able to do their jobs without concern for their personal safety. Again, this statement came after Republicans criticized the administration for not condemning the protests over the weekend in the initial response from the White House. But there were zero reports of violence or vandalism during Saturday's protests. And the right to peacefully protest is guaranteed by the Constitution. Just saying. Well, it's Tuesday, and that means another primary day. This week, it's West Virginia and Nebraska going to the polls. These races affect the Republicans more than the Democrats. In West Virginia, two Republican incumbents, Alex Mooney and David McKinley, are facing off in a congressional primary because West Virginia lost a seat after redistricting. So one of them will be out. Now, McKinley voted for the bipartisan infrastructure bill. Mooney didn't. Mooney, therefore, was endorsed by the former guy. McKinley was endorsed by Republican Governor Jim Justice and Joe Manchin, obviously also from West Virginia. They've both been in Congress for a while. McKinley has represented West Virginia's first district since 2011. Mooney represented the second district since 2015. But with the Trump endorsement, Mooney seems to be a bit ahead, although he's been criticized as a carpetbagger and he's currently facing ethics investigations. Sounds like he's just Trump's kind of guy. McKinley, meanwhile, has touted his lifelong ties to West Virginia and is proud of his vote for infrastructure. So this is a good test of Trump's influence. In Nebraska, well, the guy Trump endorsed, Charles Herbster, running for governor, well, he's been accused of sexual assault by eight different women. Again, Trump's kind of guy. All I know is if you're in Nebraska or West Virginia, please get out and vote. They did vote in the Philippines over the weekend, and wow, Ferdinand Marcos Jr. won the presidential election in a landslide. With 95% of the vote counted, Marcos, known by his childhood name of Bongbong, garnered 30 million votes. His main rival, the vice president, Lenny Robredo, had 14 million. You might recall his father, Ferdinand Marcos, was ousted from the presidency in the 1980s and accused of stealing billions from the government. His mother, Imelda, had a shoe fetish. Really, Google it. I guess they've got a short memory in the Philippines. Well, if you're in the stock market, you didn't have a good day yesterday. U.S. stocks plunged to their lowest level of 2022 on Monday during a sell-off fueled by concerns about the highest inflation in decades and Federal Reserve interest rate hikes that were enacted to slow down inflation. It's a roller coaster. It goes up, it goes down, it goes up again. And just remember, look at where the Dow is today as opposed to where it was 5 years ago. You're doing fine. And finally, U.S. Marshals on Monday caught that escaped confessed murderer and the corrections officer who helped him escape and fled this Alabama jail together. A police car chase ended in a crash in Evansville, Indiana. The corrections officer, 56-year-old Vicky White, died at a hospital, apparently shooting herself in the head as law enforcement officers closed in. The inmate, 38-year-old Casey White, was behind the wheel of the Cadillac driving during the chase, and he was injured in the crash. A Authorities said the two had a jailhouse romance before they disappeared from the Lauderdale County Detention Center on April 29th. Vicky White was supposed to retire the day they left. I guess that's one way to end a career. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.